Hello everyone, Dave Landry here, and this is the Week in Charts. I want to thank all you guys and girls for being here. Sorry I make it so hard to find the show. I'm going to get that fixed, I promise. I actually got the link up earlier today on the website, which registered you for a show next week or in a couple of weeks, but we'll get that fixed, I promise. And if you're watching recording, if you go to davelandry.com/webinar and register, even if the date's wrong, it's going to let you into current show whenever I make that current show available. So we're talking about what obviously current market conditions, things have obviously improved quite a bit, a few areas notwithstanding. And we'll get to that in 1 second. Your questions on trading, hold off till we get to the live charts, if you don't mind. And that's just so my ADD doesn't kick in. And if you don't mind, when you ask about individual stock picks, just ask about one at a time and then hit return. I'll stay here as long as possible and answer as many as possible, but just put them in one at a time if you don't mind. I want to continue my discussion on profit centers and talk a little bit about dance partners, when they might be ripe to stumble. And I put that in last minute, but it may be time to break up with them. And I'll explain that in just 1 second. I want to talk a little bit about shite coins. And we'll take a look. I'll make a pass, a live pass through the database on those and show you what I'm seeing or not seeing. And George had asked me some questions on some IPOs, so I want to cover that. And it's kind of pretty much the same thing in a lot of ways in other markets too. And that'll make sense in just a minute or two. And then I also have some random thoughts and lessons in there. There was a disclaimer screen if you were paying attention. As you know, you can lose money trading, or as often sum it up, stealing a line from my buddy Greg Morse. All predictions are about the future, and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. I came across this random quote this morning. This is from The Science of Getting Rich by Waddles. It's an older book. It's a little esoteric, but I would recommend you read it. And I was actually listening to it this morning. There's an abundance of opportunity for the man who will go with the tide instead of trying to swim against it. I think that's what we do in this trend following. So George asked a question. He said, hey, Dave, I'm starting to test the buy a B strategy with pilot bias on ZH, SIMR, and ALHC. You went all in, dude. I have put the stop underneath the IPO opening range price bar. Is that about right or is it too loose? Well, it depends, but that's definitely a good starting point, as you'll see. So let's take a look at those. So SIMRush, day one, day two. Now day two took out the day one high. So we're not worried about the day one high anymore. This is the buy at B pattern. Remember the buy at B, you have to close above the day one high if that is the new high for the week. Day three, day four. The earliest we will get into this pattern is on the close of day five. And I think that's changed slightly from the IPO webinar. Now, IPO webinar made it sound like it was day six, but I will go long on the close of day five. And I think everybody in the Facebook group is up to speed on that. So in other words, if a stock comes public on Monday, which I think this one did, the earliest we will possibly get in would be on Friday at the close. Now, it did close at a new closing high, as you can see, on March 31st. And here's the thing, the buy at B pattern, because you're buying market on close or around the close, I should say, you don't know whether it's going to close at a new closing high or not. Now, in this case, this was a new closing high, but it just kind of barely got there on day five on the Friday. The other thing, too, is the range wasn't really that tremendous just yet on this. Let me rewind that. I guess the range was okay, but it wasn't a decisive close on the Friday. If it had closed a little bit higher in that intraday range, it might have been worth a shot. So it was technically a buy on day five, and I think a stronger signal would have been right here on April 1st, when you could see it made a decisive move higher, and it closed well, and it also closed at a new closing high. Now, let's answer George's question. My father used to always say, whenever I was stressed out about something or something was really going wrong, he'd always say, well, what's the worst thing can happen? And, you know, I tell him, and then he's like, well, how could you improve upon that? And it's just kind of the same thing with the IPOs. Just think about where you would obviously be wrong and then improve upon that. Okay. So George was saying stops at new lows, at old lows, I should say. Nothing wrong with that when the stock makes a new low. Okay. So if it went all the way back down and started making a new low as a trend follower, right? We're no longer swimming with the tide, as I just said, you would be wrong. If you look carefully, it says make your portfolio great again. I did an article on that a few years back. Okay, so John also took the buy B. I took this one too. I actually got out on this day here in one account, but I held on in my longer term account. This is in my trading account. I just decided to flip it out, which may have been a mistake. But anyway, the thing to do is number one, okay, so we're going to be wrong all the way to the lows, but where in between would we be wrong? Okay, so we're wrong down here. So I would say you're probably wrong if it gets down to like 1130 or so, if it starts to approach those old lows. There's no need to hold it all the way to the old lows. Now, if you're trading fewer shares and you're willing to hold on to the old lows, there's nothing wrong with that. The looser your stop, the better the chances are that you're going to capture a trend. Sometimes these things take off, have a quick knockout move, and then they take off again. But I would actually let myself get stopped out before it actually goes down to the old lows, okay? Give it enough wiggle room. Give it a couple of points of wiggle room after you look at the range. So this range is 1060 to 13 and change, roughly 3 points. So give it at least a couple of points is probably okay. Probably a good idea, I should say. ZH, day one, okay? So that's the day one high, day two, day three, day four. So going into day five, we know that day one so far has set the high for the week. I am long this one, by the way. And I think we talked about which ones were long, which ones were not in Facebook, if my memory serves. So here's day five. Here's your buy. We did close above the day one high. Day one high rule in effect because day two, day three, day four did not take out day one. Okay. So here's your old low. If it goes all the way back to the old lows, obviously you would be wrong. So somewhere in here, maybe, believe it or not, around 750 or so, maybe a little bit higher. But in general, it really shouldn't come all the way back in after trying to break out. So if it made it down to, let's say, around 750 or so, you're likely wrong. By the way, I'm doing a seminar for an Italian bank, and these are new Italians that I'm working with as opposed to the people that I normally work with over there. And so we're still getting to know each other. And so I did a little pre-webinar with them, just a private webinar, Zoom meeting or whatever you want to call it. And one of the guys kind of got hung up on the exact stop placement. I tried to explain to him that there is no exact stop placement. There is a little discretion involved, a little common sense. And basically, you just got to ask yourself where you would be wrong. Now, keep in mind, let's say I put my stop at 750 on this. This thing might go to 750, stop me out, and then turn on a dime and go straight back up. Whenever I give a webinar in person, way back, remember when? From the old world, you know, those commercials talk about the old world where people are getting together and doing things. Anyway, that'll come back, I'm sure. In fact, my passport expired. I was trying to get verified on one of these Kraken exchanges, or one of these exchanges, and I couldn't believe my passport was expired. I tried using an expired passport, and they're like, I guess their computer program could read the date on it. But anyway, I digress. But back in the day when I used to stand in front of an audience, I'd always say, anybody got stopped out for the penny? anybody ever gets stopped out to the penny and watch the market or stock turn right around, go straight back up, and usually quite a few hands will go up. And if they've been trading for more than a little while, I'm sure that's happened to them. All right, let's get back to ALHC, or IPOs, I should say. Day one, okay. Day two, day one, still the high, right? Day three, up, we took out that high, so that rule no longer applies, okay? Day four, we got pretty good range down around 16 all the way up to 20-something. That's what, 20%, 25% range. Pretty good-looking stock. I think I'm going to buy it on the close of this day here if it closes new high. And guess what? I bought this one. So far, not so good, although I think it came back a little today. So here's your old lows down there. You would definitely be wrong if it went all the way down there, of course. And I think a plausible stop would be somewhere around, let's say, 19 or so, because that puts you back sort of in that opening week range. And maybe that's one way of looking at it, too. Now, by the way, one thing I was kind of noodling with, and it seemed to work quite often back when I talked about it, but I don't know if that was an aberration or not. But it seems like these buy at B's either work or they don't. And that might have been my thinking on the Simrush. It's in a more active account. I was using up a lot of margin in this account. It's like, this thing's not working anyway. Let me just get rid of it. And then in my IRA, I kept it in the IRA because I wanted to give it a little bit more wiggle room, a little more room. It's kind of interesting, by the way, the IRA, even though I trade the same exact things in the same exact way, I don't do as much of the intraday trading. I don't want to stop short of saying the word day trading. And every now and then that IRA grows and grows and grows and grows. And it just seems like my active account or more active accounts are just kind of churning a little bit. And it makes me kind of question things. So that's kind of interesting to have more than one account with a slightly different way of doing things. Anyway, before I digress too far, I am still long the Simrush in the IRA, but in my active account, I'm not, or super active account, I'm no longer long. So anyway, this thing comes back to, let's say, 19 or so. You would be wrong on the trade, likely wrong, I should say, okay? If it goes all the way down to the old lows, you're definitely wrong. So that's the great thing about certain patterns. In IPOs, in some cases, the old lows, you would definitely be wrong. In some cases, that's where you want your stop. And in something like a TKO, if you got a wide range bar down, then you can go right at the bottom of that bar. And that could be a little bit more mechanical in nature. But in general, these things are going to take a little discretion and a little feel, but with little common sense, I think you could do it. I know you guys, most everybody here knows how to do that. So a few weeks back, I talked about time travel, and that would be a wonderful secret to trading. And I kind of summed it up with, is present Dave going to make future Dave mad? And that night or the next night, this was right before my wife decided that she was going to go on diet, and I was going to go on diet with her just by proxy, I guess. So we decided our last supper would be Chinese food, which is not the best thing for you. But anyway, this was my fortune. I thought it was kind of apropos. The best way to predict the future is to create it. So I think I'm on to something here. Is President Laurent going to make future Laurent mad? Is President Chris going to make future Chris mad? Or John going to make future John mad? Or George? Or whoever else is here tonight. So think about that before putting on a trade. And that goes a long way. That kind of dovetails into what I'm going to say now, because I'm seeing a little bit, I don't want to say a lot, but I'm seeing a little bit of changing of the mind or cognitive dissonance, if that's the right word I'm looking for. And a few of you guys in Facebook, George is saying me. Yeah. Yeah, I had you in mind, George. I didn't want to throw you under the bus. But what should you do if you change your mind after you buy a stock? And I would say stay the course. If you want to get better at this, if you want to do this longer term, okay, if you want to succeed at this, stay the course. As I preach, there's always a reason to exit a stock and rarely a reason to stay. And last minute, one reason I was running a little bit late tonight was like, ASO might be a good example of this. Okay, we got in way back here And what happened? It just kind of died out for a week or so, almost 2 weeks, right? So that's dead money. Probably should have gotten out, right? I certainly felt like getting out. And then it took off nicely, so that's nice. But then look, it makes like a multi-week low in here. Now, by the way, you look for perfection going into a trade, and then you accept what happens afterwards. And remember, we're trying to get that swing trade profit out and then make the transition to the longer term trend trade through an ever widening trailing stop. And if you look at, and I'll have it up on the website soon, or I'll have it on Friday, but I talked about ebb and flow in the portfolio in my stock chart show. And then I went in and showed a few of these stocks, such as ASO, with the trailing stops and everything else, and how that short term trade could turn into a longer term trade. I think it was, I don't know if it was CPE or one of those, might have been CPE. We got in like last July. And I'm hoping that next July and July after next, God willing, if I'm still on this planet, you know, you think you could be on a planet forever, and then you get something like COVID, and it's like, holy crap, maybe I'm not invincible. Anyway, back to this, and hopefully we'll be holding that stock for a long, long time. But you can see it's kind of lost a little steam. It went sideways for like 2 months. Let's just get out of this thing. Let it's making a new multi-month low. No, stay the course, okay? You might be thinking, oh, it's dead money. Well, maybe, but you won't know until after the fact. And then it took off nicely, and that's wonderful. And then what happened today, though? Gap, oh, God, better get out. Well, now I don't know if it'll stick, but it was at brand new highs a few minutes ago. In fact, I had bought some shares. I got stopped out of some, but I had a few shares left over. And I put in a stupid order, a silly order, well above the market, because I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to hang on a couple hundred shares, whatever it was, and get out in after hours if hit or whatever. And I heard a zing while I'm working on a trading service or whatever. I'm like, what the hell is that? You know, and I've forgotten to put the order in several points above the market. And evidently the Reddit boys are going after ASO. That's fine. That's great. That's awesome. Push it to 500 or whatever, like they did the GME. So always a reason to exit a stock, rarely a reason to stay. Now, we talked about this little flow chart a couple of weeks back. And we talked about how you do your pre-mortem, and then you have to accept the trade, okay? And then we talked a little bit about Douglas and how he says that if there's any stress in the trade, you have not accepted the risk. Well, today I had a lot of stress because I had not accepted the risk of some of my intraday trades. Now, once you accept it, you have flip it execution, meaning that you just get in if you need to get in. You could use a stop order, you can use an alert if you're disciplined. And then you want to have a tempered or somewhat measured reaction. I mean, drop an F-bomb, of course. We all drop F-bombs in this business, most of us, okay? I would say except for you ladies, but I've met some women, the women traders, whoo! I've met some very nice ones that are clients, but some of these women traders out there, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. You would know the names. Whoo, Lord, man, they... Anyway, so after your tempered reaction, you do your post-mortem, and in that, you had to figure out how to separate luck from skill. As I've said quite often, Annie Duke wrote an excellent book called Thinking in Bets. I haven't got around to reading her decision book. It's kind of a work. I really don't work well with workbooks that well. And it's kind of a workbook, so I need to just sit down and get busy with it at some point in time. And in Thinking the Bets, she really didn't give a great solution. I'm going to have to read it again, but she really got me thinking about it, which is a good thing. And if you can figure out how to separate luck from skill, you're going to do fantastic. We all tend to equate a winning trade with skill and a losing trade with bad luck. And I'll show you some of that in a few minutes. So you change your mind, and in perfect hindsight, you know, this stock was really a turd, right? You stayed the course and you lost money. Now what? Okay. Well, do better pre-mortems next time and the next 1,000 times and accept your analysis and accept the stock, okay? And this is the only way you're going to learn. If you do this hindsight thing and change your mind and micromanage, you're never going to become disciplined enough to make any real money longer term. You're never going to hold ASO for, how many months has it been? 5 months? You're never going to hold CPE for July. So we're what, closing in on 10 months in that? Isn't that crazy? So just follow, you know, if it's a shitty plan, follow your shitty plan. What's the old saying? A poor plan followed well is better than a good plan not followed. I'm sure there's a much more eloquent way of saying that, but you kind of get the idea. And to get good at trading, you really need to get good at the process. And you really need to get good at following the process. And you've got, as I preach, you've got to get your reps in and do it over and over. Okay. Let me... take a look at these questions real quick that are stacking up. That was a different George. Okay. All right. So there's more than one George. Sorry, George. So George says, for me, the closer I am to my screen, the more likely I'll make decisions when none should be made. It sucks me in. Oh, absolutely. And I got it from Dave Keller, and he said he got it from Todd Harrison. I don't know Todd Harrison. Does anybody here know Todd? But Todd calls them flickering ticks. And man, you got to really be careful about those flickering ticks. And one thing that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes is, if you're going to trade on an intraday basis and the range is real small, you're going to lose money. You're going to get chewed up. And if you're watching every little tick, it's going to look like it's a huge move, when in reality, maybe it's not that big of a move. And the other thing is, with the range and all, a while back, as I said, let me just kind of rewind up. The other thing is, a while back, as I said, admitted in the Facebook group, I find the more I admit mistakes and guilt and bad behavior, the better I become, because I feel like if I go to that bad behavior again, I'm going to have to admit it again. And that goes back to accountability problems there. But as I said before, I was trading E-minis and I was getting chewed up as you normally would. And then one day I came in, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to get chewed up today. And boy, this market is just chopping around. It's not doing anything. You know, it's like it was hardly even moving. And I didn't get chewed up. And about 2 or 2:30, I'm on Central Time, so an hour or half an hour before to close, all of a sudden, I saw a little breakout happen. I was like, you know what? I'm going to step in. So I stepped in, made a little money, and then did that 2 or 3 days. And then it went like a day or two with no trades, or maybe even longer, which is unusual. And I'm like, what the heck? This market's really chopping around. And boy, I'm getting so much better at not getting sucked into all these little moves. And then one day I realized, my 5-minute chart had become a 15-minute chart. And from that day forward, all my charts now are 15-minute charts on my intraday stuff. And that's kept me from chasing my tail quite a bit. So on a micro level, if you are looking at a screen, don't look at a 5-minute bar. Or, you know, if ever I find myself, I've found myself there, especially when I was messing around with the GME stock. And maybe ASO is the new GME, so might be messing around with that too. We'll see. But whenever I find myself on a 1-minute chart, something's wrong. That's usually when my back begins to tighten up, my neck begins to tighten up. I'm just really stressing myself out. But yeah, you'll get sucked into those flickering ticks. You got to be careful. All right, Chris has to go. Good night, Chris. Chris is fighting COVID. You know, good luck with that. Take it easy. Like I said, you feel that burst of energy. I didn't get the burst of energy because I was sick for so long. I knew not to try to do anything. But don't rush out and cut the grass. Call somebody to cut the grass or whatever you might do. My brother-in-law went and hiked the mountain, a good friend of mine. He went four-wheeling by himself in his Jeep in the middle of nowhere. Got stuck, and he regretted it. But he was able to – he did get home alive, but he was He was a hurting pup. So yeah, take care of it. Take care of yourself when you feel that burst of energy. So lately we've been talking about profit centers. And just real quick, these are ancillary profitable techniques. Profitable is a key word in that sentence. And sometimes they stop being profitable. And that's the hard part. And I'm going to talk a lot about that tonight. And you want them to be ideally non-correlated to the core methodology or in non-correlated markets. Now, IPOs are kind of correlated in big parts of the core methodology, but every now and then some of these buy it, be things and all, which aren't like perfect core methodology things, could still do really well. And we're still using the same money management as the core methodology. And sometimes the IPO is set up as a core methodology like ASO. In fact, I skipped the buy it be because it's ASO was a retail stock, a boring brick and mortar retail stock. I didn't put the theme together that people would want to go camping and just get the flock out of the house and go do something outdoors and run over to Academy and buy the equipment or whatever. But by the way, theme investing is a bad idea, but technical analysis can lead you to the theme, okay? Now, as I've been saying, just real quick, because I've talked about this last several weeks, there is a downside to them. Just because you could do something doesn't mean you should. I actually had a really good day today, but my shoulders are tense. I'm stressed out. I lost a little bit of money day trading, more than a little, but I made five times as much at least in my position trades, and I'm kind of bummed out today. I'm kind of a little low, okay? And I got to watch that. I don't want to get sucked in too much to those flickering ticks. And I don't want to do that a lot because I can feel that it does stress me out when I'm not just waiting for like an opening gap reversal, like the mother of all opening gap reversals. As I've said before, we talked about ogres last week and many other weeks. And we talked a lot about them in the presentations, in the Q&A presentations on the back of the website. I think that if I didn't have a time limit, and let's say give me 6 weeks or whatever, and you made a bet with me, I bet if I waited until I had perfect opening gap reversals, and to win the bet, I'd have to make a lot of money trading ogres, not a whole lot of them, but just be very selective. I mean, who was it, Warren Buffett or Munger or one of those guys? Not that you want to trade like those guys, be a value guy. But I do like what Munger or Buffett said. It's like, imagine you have a ticket book with only so many tickets. And let's say you have a ticket book with 10 tickets and you can only take those 10 tickets. If I had a ticket book with 10 tickets and I could only spend one ticket a week or however many tickets, but when I'm out over the next, let's say 6 weeks, I probably would do really well trading opening gap reversals because I wouldn't chase every little one. So you do need to be selective. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Like I said, I stressed myself out today day trading, lost a little money. You would think I was destitute. My wife looked at me and she goes, bad day, huh? Like, you can tell. She goes, like, yeah, it's all over your face. You know, it's like, really? So that it we're really in a business of management of energy. In fact, that's just life if you think about it. What's his name that wrote Dilbert? The book is, I only have a few, I gave all my books away, but I kept that one. How to fail at pretty much everything and still succeed or something like that. And it's pretty much the story of my life. He talks a lot about management of energy. And if you are not managing your energy properly, it's going to bring you down if you get a little hyperactive. The friend of mine who's a scalper, he gets a little burnt out every now and then on trading, and he just flat out shuts down his account and quits. And he probably has no business scalping, even though he's good at it, but he's a little older than I am, not much, in case he's listening. And it really stresses him out. He's got a lot going on in his life, and he really should not be scalping. Now, even when the music appears to be playing, don't fall in love with your dance partner. I'm going to show you a possible falling in love type of thing. As I said before, the six most dangerous words on Wall Street, but it was working so well. Now, I've heard this many a times, and one of the more recent times was when the aforementioned scalper, the scalping stopped working, and I'll show you that in just one second. The other thing is, when things are going really well, you got to be careful not to press or front run too much, and I may be guilty of that in Myra lately, and I'll show you some trades there in just one second. So you do want to have a chair ready when the music stops. You want to track each profit center carefully. I'm guilty of not documenting enough, and then I just get on a kick and we're document, document, document. It's pretty easy to document everything when things are going well. Oh, I made $1,000 on a day trade today. I'm going to put that in the spreadsheet. You know, oh, I'm holding ASO and it went up 5 points in after hours. Yay, I'm feeling good. Let me write that down, you know. But when things are going well, you don't want to have that introspection. You don't want to do that. But it's important for you to temper your emotions, obviously, a little bit and track everything. So last two trades I did in Myra failed miserably. Now, was I taking mediocre trades because I'm in love with her? I don't know. Am I interviewing myself? Yes. And the other thing you got to remember is sometimes I can add insult to injury. And so earlier today, I'm down in my day trades. I call them day trades. I try to call them intraday trades because I don't want to be a day trader, right? And I was also down in my position trade. So you got to be careful with these profit centers because they could really be a double whammy. Now, getting back to my client slash friend who was printing money, scalping, and Boeing, but it was working so well, I thought it'd be kind of cool to go in and grab a volatility chart. And I've done this before in Metastock. This is actually done in ACP. I had them program in historical volatility. They call it Landry volatility, but it's not my indicator. It's just historical volatility. But I plotted in a bunch of these, and as you can see, the volatility began to implode. So if he's scalping somewhere around here, he's doing a lot better than if he's scalping somewhere in here, as you can see. Now, this is a very blatant example of a changing condition, right? This sort of reminds me, I'm kind of backing into this, but this reminds me of Linda Raskey in her book, Trading Sardines, said, right when you find the key to the market, they change the lock. So this is a super volatile stock. It's moving around 10, 20 points a day. You jump in for a scalp, before you know it, you're up 3 or 4 points. You're popping it out, you're flipping it out, you're doing it a few times a day. You're making $3,000-$4,000 a day, and it's not even, market hadn't even been open 30 minutes, you know? Yay, I'm gonna tell my friends, you know, it's working great. But the volatility obviously imploded. Now, if we zoom in on that, you can see that the shorter term volatilities began to implode before the longer term volatilities. And that's why I think it's kind of cool to have multiple volatilities plotted on a chart when you're studying something like this. And again, this is historical volatility. And you can see all the parameters off to the left. Now, what's happening here is a drop-off effect. So it's catching up with the longer-term volatility. And in this extreme example, this is 100-day. Notice how long it took for that extreme volatility to come off, okay? So the drop-off effect, I'm sure you guys know with moving averages, like I explained in the Trading Full Circle course. As the moving average moves away, you drop off those older prices. So a GPA is a good way of looking at it. If you were like me, starting out in college, having a lot of fun, then your mom has a little talk with you, explains that you're going to have to get a job and that college is fun and a job is not fun. So anyway, so if you drop off an F and a D and then start making A's and B's, you're going to see a great improvement. So you start dropping off the higher volatilities and adding in the lower volatilities, you can see the volatility begins to implode. And it's good to have multiple volatilities plotted on a chart, okay? So I get to stay in college. I got to stay in college, yay. So again, a dance partner is a stock you have a feel for, and you want to really, really track them to make sure they're working. Like I said earlier, the semiconductors, looked like they were topping out, and I was doing pretty good with the semis. And then what happened? They went back up. Now, I was thinking about it right before I went live. Could I be falling in love with Mara? So I went in and grabbed the last several weeks of trades in my more active account. I've made other trades in this one and other accounts, but this is my most active account where I do most of the intraday trading. So I'm $719 one day, $297 on the 18th. I lost 353, scratched out pretty much. Then I lost 316. Like, oh, wait a minute. Is she leaving me? Well, then I made 543 and then 377. Nope, she's back. We're doing great. And then I made 859. Yay. Okay. And last two trades, I lost money. So you could see, but it was working so well. And I bet if I went in and dissected these, some of the ones that did well were probably like on opening gap reversals or on nice wide range bar days, or I didn't go in and try to front run the setup because I have fallen in love with this stock. One epiphany for me, it's probably through like joining the American Association of Professional Technical Analysts, and plus being around for 20 something years, and luckily I got to meet a lot of people early on in my career. But one of my epiphanies fairly early on, and even to this day, is that you're great traders, and many famous ones I could name drop, an S ton of them that you all guys would know. They're so humble, and it's just amazing how it's like, oh man, they're just they talk like they're destitute and gotten beat up. Not they're destitute, but they admit that they do have losing trades, and they talk about how they could have done a lot better. It's funny, Annie Duke goes into a lot of that in that Thinking It Bets book, so I would recommend you read that. So another secret to trading is you need to know when to break out. So I need to pay attention to know when to break out with Mara. Now, remember I said the semis were topping and I was doing really good trading socks. Well, that was back here, right? So what happened to the semis? This is a SOX S, which is the triple inverted ones. Okay. By the way, don't hold these longer term. Don't hold them more than a day. That's what I believe. Especially the inverted ones, because they all go to zero eventually. And you can't short them. I tried shorting them, just S&Gs, and they won't let you short them. But if they did, oh crap, I'd just short all these things and I'd go on vacation. Sit tight. But you can see the volatility has imploded on the SOX S. Okay. Well, I look at my recent SOX S trades and I lost money. Why? Well, the volatility is no longer there. Okay. You need volatility if you're going to take an intraday trade. So I had to break up with that one. Now, the Lab D, I need to pay attention to too. I've made a lot of money back here in Lab D, started losing money in more recent times, or certainly not making as much money. Well, the volatility is starting to come off. So I'm going to have to be really careful there. Maybe find a new dance partner. It's hard. It's hard because Lab D has been so good to me lately. Okay. But you can see even the longer term volatility is beginning to come off on that one. So we zoom it in. You can see the short term volatility had a little bit of a dip, but then it came back in. I'm sorry, it came back and then it went back down again, as you can see. Now let's take a look at the spiders. My intraday index trading hasn't been so stellar lately. A while back, a few weeks back, when the market was appeared to be tanking, everything was going swimmingly, right? But in more recent times, not so much. Why is that? Well, the volatility is coming off, okay? And I need to pay attention to that. Peter Brandt in Unknown Market Wizards said, don't lose 30 cents in a 10 cent market. And what he means by that, and he's talking about commodities, obviously, where 30 cents is a big move, okay? Is that if the market's just kind of chopping around in a 10 cent range, don't go in and out and in and out and lose your butt and end up losing 30 cents. I've done this before more times than I care to admit. In fact, last few days, I'm thinking this market's going to crack. It's due to correct or whatever. Oh, yeah, I know the range is kind of narrow, but I'm going to go in and try to trade it anyway. Well, big mistake. So that's rings in my head. And a lot of times I'm like, we're in a 10 cent market. I just got to tell myself that and not do the intraday stuff when we're in a 10 cent market. So a lot of the trades I show here, or all the trades I show that aren't IPOs or some ancillary profit centers or whatever, come straight from the archives of my trading service. And you go to dailylearner.com/archives. I think everybody here is on the service, so you know where to find those. The recent ones below the service, and then the older ones are not behind the firewall under archives. All right, let's shift gears. I want to talk a little bit about altcoins, then I'm going to jump into the overall market. You guys want to start asking questions in general or questions about the overall market, go ahead and do so. Let me get my charting package up here. And I suppose we can do ACP now too. So the ACP, the stock charts ACP, I asked them to get me more and more altcoins. And they've got quite a few there now. And I want to show you some of those patterns. But before we do that, let's take a look at some of these altcoins in here. Now, as I said in yesterday's stock chart show, a couple of things. If you're going to trade these altcoins, first of all, you know, buyer beware. And they're all crap. And that's why I know some of these traders call them shit coins, S-H-Y-T. And you know, it's like I'm a big fan of being careful with negative things and all, and that's obviously a negative connotation, but I think it works out great for me because I know that if I'm losing money in them, I just have to get out because they're crap anyway. You know, they're all made up. It's made up. They're backed by nothing. Kind of like the US dollar. Where's my, here it is. I put this in my stock chart show. Let's see if it's showing. This is a $100 trillion note. I bought a huge pack of these things, and I would throw them out at lunch, as I said in yesterday's show. I got lunch, it's on me, and I gave it to a bunch of my friends and friends of friends and all, and they all do the same thing with their friends. Anyway, about 5 years later, I went to buy some more, and they're like $60 each on eBay. It's like, damn it, I should have kept them. But anyway, I found one cleaning the garage. My old office, I think some of you guys have seen the pictures. I had the whole walls covered with currency. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. But this office is a lot more small. We downsized in a major, major way, which is overall has been a great thing. But every now and then, I miss a little bit more space. So if you're going to trade these altcoins, it's the wild, wild west, okay? And it's like, oh, what a difference a day will make. Like yesterday, I was stopped out of nearly every one of these things, okay? And hey, don't use my own stuff on me, Craig. Craig's saying, you still make good money. If it guilts you, I'll send you my address. Yeah, I always tell people, if they make money on a trade and they're upset because they lost a little bit of open profits in the end, whenever they send me an email bitching to me, I'm like, look, dude, I'm so sorry. Let's forget it ever happened. Just send me the money. Keep a little bit out. Go get your massage. Center yourself. But just send me the rest of that troublesome cash. And, you know, in 30 something years, not one person has sent me a check. So anyway, getting back to the altcoins before I forget. There are two ways to trade them. At least I've been successful with the last few weeks. And I think it's a wild, wild west. And I think this is an emerging market. Okay. And I use the word market loosely. Okay. These are all $100 trillion bills, right? But they're a wonderful trading vehicle. And if you get into a momentum market, and just yesterday, I don't have the slide, but these were all negative, okay? And I was getting stopped out of stuff and exiting stuff. And then now I'm back in a big way. And a lot of what I'm doing now is I'm just buying the biggest gainer. So all these ones with a red flag next to it, that just means I'm long and I have a stop in place. And I'm just simply buying breakouts. I'm not a huge breakout fan, except maybe in IPOs, because they're all kind of a, I guess when an IPO comes public, think of it as kind of like an emerging market, right? Doesn't have a lot of bad memories. A lot of these shit coins don't have bad memories, just yet at least, okay? So I think it's a wonderful place to trade, at least right now. It's kind of the church of what's happening now. So two things, the core methodology, which I'll show you, in ACP. In fact, I'll show you that real quick. And you could do TKOs and pullbacks and all the stuff that I normally do and talk about. And then you could also trade the relative strength market. So this is the StockCharts ACP platform. By the way, I use a lot of tools in my business. As I've showed my tool cart before, it's got probably 2,000 tools on it or whatever. And the right tool for the right job. So if we take a look at the shitcoins over here, and let's take a look at Bitcoin, because we talked about this one in Facebook back when it set up. So you could do Landry-like pullbacks, okay? So this is just Landry-like down here. These are just the lows are greater than the moving average, okay? Wait for a pullback to the moving average, as evidenced by the Landry-like going back to zero here. This just counts the number of days of Landry-like, okay? And then just trade it like a pullback, okay? Enter somewhere in here, stop down here, initial profit target up here. And then just hold on, okay? I know, easier said than done, but you could use the core methodology in these things. Now, the second thing I do, in addition to the core methodology, again, is, and look, I feel like Tiny L's. Look at that trade, it's huge. This was up, what, 18% a little while ago? So look at that, I made 4% while I'm talking. I'm gonna keep talking. As I said in yesterday's show, not the last week of Bandcamp, you, but the same client who's also the good scalper, he's been around forever with me, but he used to years ago, now I'm only up 21.68%. See all those observations? See, now I feel bad because I'm actually losing money now, whereas I just made 4%. Now I'm backing off a little. Anyway, long story endless, he used to just use a free little app. I think he got it from CNBC or somewhere. And he would just stay long the 4 or 5 Landry list stocks all day. And he told me that he paid for 2 down payments on 2 investment properties by doing that. Now, you can't do that all day, every day. But when you're in a rip-roaring momentum market, you can. And if you're in an emerging market like these altcoins, I guess they call them that. Not be so vulgar, but they're shit coins. But it's spelled with a Y. So anyway, you could stay long these. And notice that I am long quite a few that are in this top percent change, okay? So let's start taking a look at some of these guys. So I'm long that one. You can see kind of breaking out. Now, one thing I haven't fully wrapped my head around is the liquidity in these things, but keep in mind that I'm trading a small size on this. This is something that's relatively new to me. Like I said, after I traded Bitcoin for quite a few years and Ethereum and Litecoin and those, but the altcoins is something that after COVID, I said, there's a lot of things I want to do. And so I went ahead and got a subscription to TradingView. StockCharts didn't have a lot of them at that point in time, although they got quite a few now, because I bugged them a little bit, but they're getting better and better. And they've been wonderful in accommodating a lot of my needs over there to help out the viewers. Anyway, but after COVID, there was a lot of things that I said, you know what, I'm going to do this, these things that I've been holding off on. And one of them was figure out the altcoins. So I sat down one Sunday morning and I figured out the altcoins. At least I got them up and running and I started trading them. And luckily we were in a momentum type of market then. And I was just buying the top ones that were performing well. So here's one, mostly sideways, kind of wide and loose, mostly sideways. This one looks kind of interesting. I'm long this one. You can see nice, it's taken off, it's pulled back. And John Z, I don't know if he's in here tonight, but John Z trades the altcoins too. He's one of the persons who inspired me to get into them, to get into these coins outside of Bitcoin. It's like, I didn't understand them. It's like, who cares? You know, like I said recently, it's like I approached them like I approached stocks years ago. I thought I had to understand what they did and how much they made and all this other stuff. No, just buy the ones that go up, sell the ones that go down, and then I won't be able to pull my jacket up enough to show you, but I have the instructions printed on my right arm. And this one looks okay. It's kind of all over the place. It might be a little thinner. I'm going to have to study the volume on these things. It's one thing I haven't done, not for predictive purposes, but more for make sure that they're liquid enough to trade, especially as hopefully as my account continues to grow. Okay, this one sideways, nothing doing there. Sideways, This one looks okay. It's kind of trying to break out away from its 30 EMA. This one looks okay too. Longer term trend following could be in longer term trend following mode. Also, it's good relative strength. This might be one you want to get long in relative strength. It's up 10%. This was kind of sideways. This one's trying to break out a little bit. It's Bitcoin. Oh, okay. That makes sense. See the little pullback to the 30 EMA? That's a good little pattern to trade there. Okay. Pull back to 30 EMA. It might be losing a little steam in here. The other altcoins might be a better trade than Bitcoin itself because these guys are going to be a little bit more inefficient. I didn't see anything those last few, but this one's kind of breaking out a little bit. Might be worth watching on a pullback or possibly a relative strength play. This one's kind of interesting. Nice little breakout, pullback. Okay, you can see the patterns that I trade the core methodology or shaping up nicely. This one I should be long somewhere, but I don't know where. I've got three brokerages now. I thought I was long. Maybe I didn't get long for some reason. So I'm gonna have to check when we get offline here or when I get off the show. But you can see if you're playing the relative strength game, it's going up. So you should be long that one. I'm long this one on probably relative strength. ETC is doing pretty good here. So if you're trading relative strength, it's looking okay. Ethereum looks okay. You got a nice little Landry light here, a little reversal bar back up. So as we go through these, here's one breaking out from low levels. Okay, kind of interesting. Again, not a huge breakout player, fan or player, but in these altcoins, they do have a breakout characteristic. This is one that I've longed forever, finally got stopped out. I think I'm long again on this one, or looking to get long. Yeah, orange. I'm trying to work on my color schemes. I think orange means I have an order in to buy it. I don't know exactly what the order is, but I think I played the breakout back here, and I know I played the breakout in here. And was pleasantly surprised as this thing continued to run. That one was sideways. This one looks interesting. See this orange? I have an order to buy it because it's a Landry-like pullback. It accelerated higher. Little throwback to the 30 EMA. And now it looks like it wants to go higher. So probably had a buy in here. Don't know exactly where. 260 or something, if I had to guess. So let's just get through these real quick. This one looks kind of interesting. You see it kind of pulled back, a little bit of a TKO bar here. Let's see if we can find something better. I like this one better. Okay. Look at the Landry light. Look at the Landry light. That's huge. Tiny L is popping out again. You know, the other thing that's happened is like my Southern slips out every now and then. Probably because we used to, my wife and I, we watched that Colonel Angus skit probably about a dozen times. That's back when SNL was funny. Anybody remember SNL back when it was funny? I haven't watched it in years, but boy, I tell you, back then it was funny. Anyway, before I digress too far, I get myself demonetized. Nice Landry light, little pullback. That's pretty textbook in nature setup here. You know, accelerating higher, pulling back. And look at that. Look at that. I got an order in to buy that one. Okay, so these are my actual things I'm looking at. Link, and it's kind of okay. Kind of, there's so much other stuff that looks great right now. No sense to deal in mediocrity, right? Now look at this one. I don't know why I'm not long this one, but if I'm trading relative strength, then I should be long this one because it's banging out some new highs with a little bit of vigor. Trend is up. Litecoin looks okay. It's broken away from the moving average. And it's kind of a little funky looking with that big wide bar in there. So I don't know what happened on that day. One of these, I don't know if it was MANA or one of these, I got in and it doubled. And then by the next night, by the time I woke up, it had already come all the way back in. So do put in some limit orders if you're going to trade these things to try to get some profits out. George, which is the best brokerage? I have Kraken and I have Coinbase, and each one has its features, and each one has different altcoins. And I recently added Gemini. I'm not too excited about Gemini because I thought Gemini would have like a boatload of them. There's a few they have that others don't, but for the most part, not a whole lot of coins there. So I'm a little disappointed in that, but only have a small amount in that account. And I don't have big amounts in any of these accounts, by the way, just FYI. Very happy with Coinbase. The execution is really fast. Coinbase, I like because you want to do a market order, you just jump in and get a market order off real quick. I like being able to place orders and see them on a chart and Kraken in their advanced platform. But it's a little quirky. It's like earlier today, I tried three or four times to get long something and it wouldn't take my order for whatever reason. A little bit more quirkier, a little more clunkier, but it's kind of a neat thing. The other thing I like about Kraken is they have almost all of these shit coins in there. So if you can't find something, it'll be on Kraken. So if I'm trading Bitcoin, Ethereum, or some of these higher volume ones, GRT, I think, and quite a few other ones, I'll trade them on Coinbase, and I'll save my margin over on Kraken for the more obscure ones, like SC and some of that stuff like that. And the other thing is you have leverage on Kraken, and leverage cuts both ways. Leverage is really hard to find in the United States. I don't know how they got away with it, but I'm not complaining. NMR, I don't know why I got long this one, probably on the momentum while it was thrusting higher. But you can see so far so good. Now that's looks like a pretty thin one, so that might come back in to bite me. Ocean, I'm already long. OMG, nice trend higher. Maybe on a pullback, might be worthwhile. QTUM, I don't know why I got knocked out of this one. Truth be told, but you can see it's been in a pretty nice trend. And this is one that I did get in on a momentum move. What's the minimum amount of money you need to trade shitcoins? $2,000. You know? I don't think I added any more money, okay? I'm not sure, but I sold my brewery that I had in my garage for $2,000. I put the money into crypto, and I ran it up, and I bought a lot of hard silver with that money, and I still have a decent amount of money in those accounts, knock on wood, okay? But yeah, you could start with a little bit of money. Don't use leverage if you only have a couple thousand dollars. But yeah, you could go in and buy $200 of a couple of these things. Nice little trend there, nice little breakout. That's another one there. This one pulled almost, this is that SC I was talking about earlier. I like this one for some reason. I've done really well on this one. But I did play this little pullback here, and I'm not sure where I got long again, but I'm long recently with a stop in place, probably on a big candle up. Oh, did I just say candle? So anyway, you kind of get the idea. You could trade them just like you trade stocks or any other market. I think they're an emerging market. I think it's something worth going after, as I've said in numerous presentations. I get on these email lists, whether I want to or not. And, you know, one guy in the newsletter, he's like, oh, Bitcoin is crap, is crap, is crap. And Bitcoin was $4,000, okay? And every day he would come out and tell us what crap Bitcoin was and how it's made up and bullshit, you know? Made up like the U.S. dollar, backed by nothing. The British pound, backed by nothing. Anyway, you know, where's Bitcoin now? $55,000, $60,000? You know, as a trader, who cares? And yeah, you know, maybe we'll get burnt in these things. Don't bet your life savings. You know, like John said, we'll start with a couple thousand dollars and see what happens. That's what I did. YFI, I'm long this one. You can see it's just a relative strength play. Just buying things that goes up that are going up, selling things that go down. If they don't go up, don't buy them. All right, I think you get the idea here. It's pretty exciting for me. But now here's the thing. I'm so excited with these deals. Sometimes I forget to go over there to my trading station because I'm looking at, I got the two monitors in front of me where I do my video editing and all my presentations like I'm doing now and all this other stuff. And I got my trading station over here, my other three monitors, soon to be four. You know, if I'm not careful, I'll get sucked in these Bitcoins or shit coins all day, you know, and I'll forget, I'll miss a trade. I miss an ASO trade or something that turns out to be a huge longer term winner. Now I'll jump in it if it's in the service because I have to be long if I recommend it, right? I would never put you in anything that I wouldn't do myself, but I might miss the entry. And you gotta be careful because this is very shiny object type of stuff and it can suck you in. And the market's open 24 hours a day. And I do come in here at night and take a peek. And then I'm in here early in the morning, taking a peek. And on the weekends, you know, it's like my wife's, what's he doing in there? You know, so. All right, let's shift gears real quick. There's only a few things I want to talk about in the overall market. So let me get my TC up and running real quick. So yeah, I wouldn't say the best brokerage, but if you guys have any experience with other brokerages, I'm still kind of experimenting. The cool thing about Bitcoin and the altcoins and all this is that you could open up a brokerage and then you could just send the money over to the brokerage like that. Well, it takes like 30 minutes to actually hit, but it's kind of cool because it's like you could fund it real easily. And that's how I ended up with three brokerages. All right, so let's go to TC. I just want to go over a few things. You guys want to ask about individual stocks, feel free to start doing so now. A couple things, S&P 500, a few weeks back, I was very concerned about the market, but the market has gone higher. So believe in what you see and not in what you believe. And not that I'm a huge fan of a lot of indicators, but moving averages, especially the both side moving averages, especially proper order, 10 greater than 20 exponential, 10 simple, 20 exponential, 30 exponential, 10 greater than 20, 20 greater than 30, uptrend proper order. When a market is trending, when is a key word in that sentence, but when a market is trending, it could help keep you on the right side of the market. When these moving averages are meandering back and forth, use the indicator. I can't switch gears that quickly. But you could use a little indicator in ACP or Metastock. It's free in Metastock too to show you the proper order. And that in and of itself will keep you out of a lot of trouble, keep you from doing stupid things in the market and fighting the trend. Anyway, P's closed at all-time highs today. I'm not going to argue with that. Very overbought, due for correction, but I'm not going to fight it, okay? NASDAQ Composite, which had been lagging a little bit, has begun to wake up, okay? Just about a week ago, NASDAQ wasn't looking so hot. You could draw a trend line down. You could draw an arrow down. The moving averages were all headed lower. But now it's back above the moving averages, and they're back up. They're in probably tomorrow, if it stays anywhere up here, we'll have uptrend proper order once again in the NASDAQ. Still has a ways to go to get the new highs. One of my problems is when a market sells off from a high level like the NASDAQ did and then recovers, by the time it gets all the way back to its old highs, it's already overbought, okay? And it's kind of a dangerous juncture to get in. We could have a little bit of double top happening, but let's not worry about that. Everything in general, or most everything, is doing okay, so maybe we'll see some follow through. Still a little concerned about the Rusty, okay? As you can see, it's kind of mostly sideways as of late February, March, and now we're in April. Kind of a little sideways in here. So I'd feel a lot better if this thing went on and made some new highs. So I wouldn't, let's not start kissing each other just yet, just because the S&P is at all-time highs in here. Speaking of all-time highs, metals and mining not doing too bad, and they really didn't have a whole lot of help from gold and silver to get there. Energies are losing a little steam in here, okay? Maybe DRIP is going to be my next dance partner. We'll see, okay? I'm not giving up on LabD just yet. I've tapped the brakes on SOXS. Few areas, durables, non-durables, at or near new highs, conglomerates. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to conglomerates. Foods, not a whole lot of excitement in foods. Banks are kind of hanging in there. Lost a little momentum as of late. Insurance, financials in general doing pretty good. Defense is right at brand new highs. On the downside, drugs look dubious. And biotech look even more questionable. So far, downtrend remains intact in biotech. I'm not going to give up on LabD just yet, okay? But you can see moving averages are in downtrend in proper order. Retail, boy, I tell you, this is one of those believe in what you see and not in what you believe markets. Look at that. Tiny Elvis. Bow tie down, beautiful textbook setup, right? You get short, you're feeling great. Boy, I love those bow ties. That Dave Landry, he's great. And then what happens? Goes right back up. Well, that's the short side in general. But this is very impressive. Now, retail is super duper overbought. It's going all the way back up to its old highs. So I would tread lightly here and maybe wait for some pullbacks. Let's take a look at software, breaking out to new highs, hardware or Apple. You got hardware, you need software. You got software, you need hardware for your software. How's the song go? Software for my hardware. I had a friend who liked that movie. What was that, Ishtar? I can't believe it. It was. But anyway, computer hardware breaking out to new highs in here. Oh, let's take a look at Apple. I haven't looked at Apple in a while. Yeah, look at Apple. Doing pretty good. I was pretty bearish on Apple not too long ago. I had a phone call from somebody. I'm like, well, it's bow tied down. Stick a fork in it. Well, you know, it's going back up now. Anyway, I think that's pretty much it in the market. Let's take a look at the semis real quick. Like I said earlier, semis rolling over. I was playing that success intraday, like a day like this. Bam, trend day. Look at this. Trend day, trend day, trend day. It's kind of like Sunday, 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 huh? I need to go in and look at those days and see if I traded those trend days down. If I didn't, shame. By the way, that's a secret to trading. I wake up every morning thinking about that. If we could figure out when we're really, really due for a trend day, and one way I did a while back, I did a little research, is when you haven't had one in a while, maybe you're due for one, you know? I know it's not something to hang your hat on, but it's better than getting chewed up every day, maybe waiting until you're due for one. Okay, John says, proper risk in relation to my risk levels, stress, I'm working up to full 2%. Yeah, John, that's great. That's fantastic. You know, ease into that, man, and take your time. You know, I've known the people who survive the longest in this business go in at such a small size, it's almost meaningless. And I've known a few people. Well, I know one person in particular, and he's been around a lot of traders, kind of like in a backup role, an ancillary role. And I know he's gotten a little knowledge through osmosis and he's got access to everybody's information and stuff. But he started trading officially and did really good within the first few weeks and the first few months and the first 6 months or whatever. And I was like, how did you do it? You know, most people, it takes a lot longer than that. And he says, well, Dave, I'm really doing really, really small size. Now, he had an advantage of being around everybody for a long time, but just that in and of itself doesn't make you a great trader, you know? But yes, just kind of slowly work into that size over time and you're going to do fantastic, you know. And go in and watch the stuff in Trading Full Circle. You don't want to go 0.25%, 0.25%, 0.25%, 0.5%, and then you lose and you go back to 0.25% again. Or you work your way up to 2%. As soon as you lose, you go back to 0.25% because you could end up in a negative downward spiral. When you make the jump from a quarter to a half, stay at a half, okay? Stay there for 6 months and then move on. David Overs, how many 15-minute bars do you wait to enter? Okay, that's a tricky one because sometimes it could trigger on the first few minutes of trading. You have to make that go and no go decision. I'm trying to think of a recent. I think Gap made a gap recently. You know, like you're coming in here, you got this gap lower. You know, if it starts going straight up on that first 15-minute bar, it's like you have to sometimes close your eyes and buy. Watch the daily chart sometimes on these things and put your order in like, okay, in the daily chart, I'm gonna put my order in right here. Okay. And this wasn't a huge gap. So I think my order was fairly close to that close of the prior day when I took this trade. You can go in and watch the archives of this show where I took the gap trade. It's just one that sticks out of my mind. Wasn't a huge winner. I made a little money on that one. Not much. But it's better than poking the eye. So yeah, it could trigger in that first 15 minutes of trading and you just have to wait and see how it shakes out. Sometimes you get lucky, they'll open, they'll go up a little bit and then they'll implode. There was one that did that the other day. I can't remember which one it was. And I remember when it was going up, I was trying to get an order in, thinking about it. And by the time I got my order, I was getting ready to hit send, it had begun to implode. I got lucky in that particular case. I know I got lucky. And then I put my order in above that high. And then it tailed lower. I don't know what they call that in candle speak, but it would be a good way to describe it. What do they call it when you have a long tail lower? Hammer maybe? Kind of that hammer you know, hammered out of the bottom, and then above that hammer high is where you want to get in. So yeah, you can't, you know, some people say, I don't trade the first 15 minutes. Like, well, if you're trading open gap reversal, that might be your best opportunity in those first 15 minutes. All right, any individual stocks you guys want me to take a look at real quick? We got a few minutes for that. I kind of rambled on tonight. CLF in longer term transition, trend transition mode. That's going to be a metals and mining stock. No, I don't see a trend transition longer term. No, I wouldn't say it's done just yet, George. I mean, you just had this gap higher. It filled the gap. It's kind of a little wide and loose, but not too bad. I mean, let it at least get below its moving averages and maybe let those moving averages cross over before you stick a fork in it, okay? What's one that might be? Nope, Square's going back up. See, Square was another one of those that I thought was, see, that looks like a roll over there. You got the bow tie, you got the multiple tops, but now it's going back up. That's good, though. I'd much rather be long than short. Shorting is great, and then, you know, the market implodes, and then what you do? It's like they all go at once. All right, any more? Going once. Going twice. I want to thank everybody for coming. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. Anything unanswered, bring it up in the Facebook group. If you're not in Facebook, then you need to become a gold member of DaveLanner.com. I'm half kidding. Everybody have a great weekend. If we don't talk again, I'll see you guys, most of you guys, I should say, in the Facebook group on Friday. Thank you so much.